I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Gordon Lawson, CEO at Conceal, provider of an intelligence-grade zero-trust technology that protects global companies of all sizes from malware and ransomware. To learn more about our sponsor, Conceal, visit conceal.io. Also joining us is Andrea D'Elia, head of cybersecurity at WebHero, a division of Gestion Corporation AD Inc., a Canadian company based in Quebec. Andrea, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So, Andrea, Gordon tells us you're a ransomware recovery expert. Tell us about your background and what you do.
Well, I studied law, but I specialize in cybercrime. So I'm a cyber threat intelligence expert, which really means that I take data, evidence, and information, and I transform it into intelligence information for corporations, organizations. I do intrusion analysis. So when there is an incident, I hunt the threat actors, and I also map out the technical exploit and try to find the initial access.
So, Gordon, I always want to know how you find these people because we need more of them. We have such a deficit of cybercrime fighters. Andrea has such an impressive background.
As many of my business connections come on the golf course, Steve, you know, we are based in Augusta, Georgia, and I was playing golf with a mutual friend, and he said, you need to talk to Andrea. And we had a quick phone conversation. I was like, wow, this is really impressive, the work that she's doing in Canada. We have dozens of Canadian clients at Conceal now. And so I thought this would be a really interesting conversation because she's just been involved in one of these recoveries. So I thought this would be a really, really cool topic today.
So, Andrea, you're based in Quebec, and I'm curious to know how the Canadian government views cyber and ransomware incident response. It's a really big issue here in the U.S. Our government is very vocal on it. Are there differences, and you know, what can you tell us?
Well, the Canadian government has made great strides in the last few years just because they were forced to do so. It is a big problem here in Canada. However, companies, organizations that are hit with ransomware or with incidences do not rely on the government or law enforcement here, which is unfortunate, but due to lack of manpower and resources and the budgets are not deployed yet to really, you know, help out organizations and enterprises, we rely a lot on our U.S. neighbors, thankfully.
That's interesting, Gordon. Maybe you could build on that because here in the U.S., certainly CISA, you know, the FBI, law enforcement in general has been, you know, leading the charge and very involved with the private sector.
Those organizations have a lot of resources, Steve. So, you know, they have the resources to help, but I think that there still is probably a resistance sometimes for private companies to engage there. I would expect that, you know, occurs in other countries like Canada as well. So there's probably that dynamic. But I think that probably the bigger piece of this is no matter how much support law enforcement or a national government can provide, Canada's a very wealthy country as well with lots of you know, large enterprises across the spectrum. And so it's viewed as a hot target for threat actors. And I think that's the bigger concern here is that it's the internal defense that companies have to invest in themselves, the preparedness and the ability to recover from these events. And you just can't rely on the government, I think, necessarily to build up that resilience. So I think this is just a great lesson about sometimes we think maybe, oh, it's only, you know, the Fortune 100 or it's only big companies in the US or in the UK. No, this is a global issue and it's affecting companies of all sizes and the resources need to be allocated appropriately.
So, Andrea, I can't, you know, emphasize enough how important you and cybercrime fighters are, but with ransomware being the fastest growing type of cybercrime, how important is technology to you?
Technology is extremely important. I get very excited when I see defensive tools like Conceal Browser, because like we touched upon, we cannot rely on law enforcement and government. That's why you have to build a very resilient and secure infrastructure. Instead of being reactive, I'm trying to change the mindset and really trying to help everyone, whether it's an individual, a company, big or small. We are all touched by the same threats. The best rate of return is really investing in tools that will protect us from cyber incidences.
So Gordon, before I ask Andrea anything else, I want you to maybe step in here and talk a little bit about Concealed Browse. And I don't always ask, you know, a sponsor to talk about their technology, but in this case, I know a lot about it and it is very unique. If we don't have a partner ecosystem, if we don't have independents, if we don't have MSPs and MSSPs fighting ransomware, we're not going anywhere. And I think your tool really can make a big difference. So, you know, talk to us about that a little bit.
There's one fundamental thing that I think we all are pretty familiar with is 90% of these attacks are coming through the browser. And it's not just email, it's WhatsApp, it's Slack, it's LinkedIn, it's other applications. Probably the smaller the company, the easier it is to install those sorts of applications without policy control. And so the attack surface gets larger. Depending on the nature of the company, I would say even larger companies maybe, or the role in a larger company, you might be able to install those applications without much control as well. And so there's a ton of vulnerability potential that exists there. I think for us, we're scanning all URLs all the time across those applications. If something's suspicious, we're going to containerize it. Most importantly, we're going to give that intelligence to the SOC, to the service provider. And one thing, you know, this isn't about us, Steve, but the one thing that I really like to talk about, right before I was on this, got on this podcast with you guys, I was on with an EDR provider. It is about the partner ecosystem. It's about building integrations. We can't do this by ourselves at Conceal. We have to work with the EDRs. We have to push the telemetry to the SIEMs. We have to work with the other members of the security community in order to provide that holistic defense. And I think I go back to the telemetry and the intelligence and being able to action and remediate on that is so critical. We are that sensor that helps them to find a threat that's made it through other controls and to take action on it quickly. I think that's really where we see ourselves, and we're super happy to be a part of that with, you know, hundreds of customers, dozens of customers in Canada, hundreds of customers globally, and growing every day.
Well, ransomware isn't just the fastest growing type of crime, but it's the most devastating insofar as the downtime. We track this very carefully, and ransomware is causing far more downtime than any other type of cybercrime. You could compare it to DDoS attacks. I could go straight down the list. Andrea, what we see here in the U.S., a lot of K-12 schools, healthcare organizations, we're seeing these organizations down at times for months. Not weeks, but months until they fully recover and are back up and running in, you know, a normal state. Without naming any names, could you just give us an idea of what a ransomware recovery effort looks like? You know, an organization maybe who you've helped so that, you know, our listeners could appreciate the magnitude of, you know, what that attack looks like?
I'll reiterate what you said. It really disables, you know, all factors of a business, of an entity, of critical infrastructure. Even urban critical infrastructure, we have to think of all our cities. So I worked on a case recently. It was the Akira ransomware that attacked a significant Canadian sports organization. So there are many factors that we have to keep into account, whether we negotiate or not. I tend to not pay ransom, but those are case-to-case situations. And we have to also not only mitigate and make sure that, you know, backup is available, but also investigate and see where the cracks are, where the initial access comes from. Because sometimes it can be very surprising. Oftentimes it comes from within, whether it's intentional or not. The insider threat is a very big threat. And like Gordon said, a lot of it is done through an open door on the outside, like browsers. So mitigation is really building new resilience. We have to rebuild an infrastructure after a ransomware attack. And oftentimes, it costs millions and millions of dollars. This is why the investment in tools and tactics to defend off these cyber criminals are very, very important. I like to take a stance of more of a defensive social engineering, where we know that they're going to come. We just prepare for them adequately.
So I'm with you on not paying ransoms. I mean, you know, that's the default stance. It's not something we want to do for a lot of reasons. It can embolden the criminals. But are there some situations, some small percentage of cases where maybe a ransom needs to be paid? And if that's the case, are organizations even in a position to do that?
I'll give you the example of the city of Baltimore. They were hit with about an $80,000 ransom, and they chose not to pay. And I, you know, it goes against every fiber of my body to actually pay a ransom. but they were down on services for about, 6 to 8 months. And it cost them like over $18 million to restore services to, citizens. So, of course, it's a case by case, but there's always double extortions. You know, we don't want to negotiate with threat actors because we cannot trust them. So this is why it's so important to really change the mindset of people and get them prepared. You know, we are going to be constantly under attack, but there are ways of mitigating and preparing and building resilience for the future.
So Gordon, does Andrea sound similar to, your partners in general? Is this what you look for, not just the ability to deploy the technology, but partners who could actually, help companies recover if they're struck by ransomware?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's very few people in the world like Andrea, Steve, the legal background, the technical know-how to recover from these. And I just think that was, obviously, we have not known each other that long, but I was just so impressed by her ability to articulate this, because this is much more than a technical problem. You know, you have to, there's lots of stakeholders involved in recovery here. If you're a major gaming institution, you're losing so much revenue, you pay the ransom, no brainer. If you're a government organization, you probably can't, because you probably have statutory regulations against paying it. So frankly, for them, maybe paying the $18 million to get back online was a better legal option than paying $80,000. I don't know the trade-offs there, but these are the different factors that go into the calculus of how you respond. Having folks like Andrea, I think for any company, as certainly large corporations that are tabletopping and have to kind of war game these situations, you have to know what you're going to do. And I think she's an incredible resource to have as a potential advisor for many organizations in North America.
So Andrea, here in the US, the number one ransomware victim are K-12 schools, and not far behind that are universities. What does it look like in Canada? Are you seeing a lot of schools who are faced with ransomware attacks? And what's your advice? Because the schools, at least here in the U.S., they don't have nearly the budgets that corporations do. So they're challenged around staffing, challenged around technology.
In Canada, we have the same type of threats. I mean, these threats are very similar throughout the whole world. They just don't target, one particular country. They target, vulnerable critical infrastructure. And of course, they work on the factor that people are not well aware. Human nature makes us very trusting and, of course, very reactive. And what happens is the more knowledge that you have about cyber incidences, the more power it is to you. So it comes with awareness. It comes with, speaking about it and, utilizing, tools. I always say it's like, I'm definitely building the resilience before something happens. It's really a mindset of shifting from being reactive and panicking to actually knowing they might come because, we are a target, and building upon that. And also, unfortunately, we need more technical people. We have to start in the schools, build the manpower up from there, teach the kids to be heroes on the web and not, glamorize the hackers. It is really a community effort, building like a human firewall. I like to, teach people, inspire people to go into this field and to do what I do, because if I can do it, everybody can do it. And I mean, I go from mapping out technical exploits to really show the government and law enforcement what exactly threat actors are doing step by step so we can disable them.
Gordon, we've been talking about this for several years now, you and I. Is there light at the end of the tunnel, or do we need to not even, think about that and just settle into the fact that, this is big, this is bad, ransomware, it's not going away, and we just need to build up our defenses and prepare for it because the attacks are inevitable?
This is big business for the threat actors, so I don't think it's going away, right? And I think that they can evolve tactics faster than the defenses can stay up to date with it. But I do think it goes back to education. Later on this afternoon, I have a call with a Canadian company that does security awareness. As we're on the Canadian theme here, BlackBerry came out of University of Waterloo. There's a great ecosystem that we share with our neighbors to the north. And I think it goes back to education and making sure that we have great programs for not just at the university level, But for young people to really understand, get hands-on with cybersecurity and to get passionate about it, because the more they understand, frankly, how these attacks are generated, the better they're going to design the next generation of software, especially using AI to defend against them. So I think we're doing some good things, but it's we got to keep improving every day.
So Andrea, any final thoughts from you? We've grappled with a worker shortage for a long time. You touched on young people, getting them motivated, interested. Any words that you could offer? And that would be especially, I think, to women in the field. We've done a lot of work on that. We've produced a documentary. We're constantly trying to get the word out to young people. Hey, this industry wants you. It's exciting. It's not hackers and hoodies. What do you have to say to the young girls out there?
Here in Quebec, we speak French and English, and often there's, which language we should choose to speak. And I always say, teach children the language of computers, and you will give them so much power. I also, want to stress the fact that to mitigate, all these ransomware attacks or any kind of incidences or fraud schemes, we need to look at the problem through the eyes of an attacker. And I probably think that that's what is unique in my case, is that to do what I do, I think like an attacker. I specialize in the tools that the attackers use. So like this, when I come into a problem in a ransomware attack, I don't see it through the eyes of IT. I see it through the eyes of a criminal.
I appreciate your insights. It was nice to meet you, Andrea Gordon. We'll have you back on soon. And I hope we don't have to have the same conversation later in the year.
Thank you all.
Thank you to you both.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. This interview is sponsored by Conceal, provider of an intelligence-grade zero-trust technology that protects global companies of all sizes from malware and ransomware. To learn more, visit conceal.io. You can keep up with all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.